Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years with 7 cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest today is Anjuli Grantham, here to talk about a First Friday exhibit going up at COPA and much, much more. Welcome to the show, Anjuli.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
It's great to have you. And reading up on your project, I couldn't quite make out if it was activism art or artistic activism, but either way, the subject is climate change, and I was hoping you could please describe your work.
Yes. So the project is called Juno's Climate Change Solutionists. And solutionist is a made-up word, but as you can imagine, it's those who are working on solutions to climate change. And so for this project, I am featuring 10 Juno individuals who embody different solutions to climate change. And these are all local solutions that are happening now in our community, and they're solutions that many of us can adopt in our own lives, in our workplaces, in our families, to feel and to make a positive difference when it comes to reducing global greenhouse gas emissions.
All right. Thank you for that synopsis. And now your work is going to be displayed, or work based on this project is going to be displayed at COPA for this First Friday. Can you kind of describe what the exhibit will look at? What's going up on the walls?
Yeah. So this project is a result of a grant from the Juno Artworks COVID-19 projects. This was all COVID funding. And for this project, I worked with Brian Wallace, local photographer, and Christine Carpenter, who's a local graphic designer. And I was the writer and the producer. And so Brian went out and took photographs, these beautiful photographic portraits of these individuals who embody climate change solutions. And then Christine turned the portraits into posters. These posters are printed and they're distributed around town on bulletin boards and will be for the next 4 months or so. And now we're turning these posters, we're printing them on Coroplast, and we're going to be mounting them at COPA. And so when you go to COPA, you'll see pictures of your friends and neighbors and local activists on the wall and information about the solution that they represent. So for example, Lisa Doherty is one of the solutionists. Many of you probably subscribe to Lisa's Juno Compost service, and she represents the climate change solution of composting. So for Lisa's poster, there's a lovely photo of Lisa, and it says that Lisa Doherty composts organic waste, and it mentions a little factoid about what this has to do with climate change. And the factoid in this is that organic waste, when it decomposes, creates methane, and methane is a highly potent greenhouse gas. So that's really the idea of these posters, is it shows friendly local faces, what they're doing, and a bit about their climate change solution.
It is a list of very familiar names. I'm so happy to see that many of them have been on Juno Afternoon once before, at least to talk about their area of expertise. And so in every one that you selected is a really interesting focus area. How did you select each of these solutionists? What made you put this specific list together?
Well, I started with the solutions, and the solutions come from Project Drawdown, which is a fabulous book. I recommend anyone who's interested in considering climate change solutions to get a hold of this. So Project Drawdown quantifies the 80 most effective solutions for reversing global warming. And these are all solutions that are practical. They exist now. This isn't like invent some crazy machine that sucks carbon from the air. This is preserving wetlands, composting, using insulation. And so of these 80 solutions, I went through and I studied all of them and determined which were the 10 that made most sense locally. And then so I started with the solution and then worked back to the person whose work most embodies the solution. So I tried to get a really diverse group of people coming from, you know, the private sector, those who own their own businesses, those coming from educational institutions, those coming from tribal institutions, scientists, local activists, just a kind of a broader array of individuals. Because one of the big points about this project is, of course, celebrating the great work of local Juno folks, but also showing that these are practical things that like everyday people can do. You don't have to be some like brilliant physicist to do some of these things in your own home.
Would you mind reading your list of 10 folks?
Yeah. So I have Vivian Mork is one of the solutionists. She represents the solution, which is plant-based diet and local foods. Duff Mitchell, he represents the solution of expanding renewable energy. I have Corin Bosworth. She represents the solution of preserving wetlands and peatlands. I have Richard Peterson. He represents the two solutions of protecting forests as well as indigenous land management. There's Sarah Lewis, and she represents reducing food waste. Devin Kibbe, who talks about electric vehicles. Lisa Doherty, who I mentioned, who is about composting. Bob Varness, who discusses electrifying marine transportation. Alan Wilson, who talks about insulation and energy efficient buildings. And then Andy Romanoff, who represents the solution of air source heat pumps.
So how did you go about conducting, editing, and then these interviews, and then shaping the responses into the text that goes with the beautiful photographs?
It was such a lovely way to spend the end of 2020, I have to tell you, with having conversations with these really fabulous and inspiring people, you know. So all of them, I wanted to let them have the chance to talk about why their solution made sense in the local context. And to provide information they thought was essential for people to understand about the solution. And then I just, you know, had lovely conversations with them and was able to integrate their experiences and kind of a bit about their life story into the greater climate change solution. So it was just a series of conversations, really, and then a bunch of research on my part about climate change solutions.
So what is your understanding and, you know, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but just your general understanding of the range of sizes of a carbon footprint of people living in Juneau. You know, we get most of our food barged in. We have to fly in and out on commercial jets. There's not a lot of farming. Sometimes I feel quite guilty about it all.
Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is that the average Juneau person, especially if they travel frequently, has an outsized carbon footprint compared to the average American. There's a lot of carbon footprint calculators out there that you can use. And when I calculate my own carbon footprint, it's evident that at least prior to 2020, travel was the bulk of mine. Mm-hmm. One thing to consider is that, like, if you have an average size home and you have a fuel oil broiler, is around 10,000 tons or 10,000 pounds of CO2. A year usually that come from something like that. So we say on average that if you install an air source heat pump, you're reducing your personal carbon footprint by 10,000 pounds a year, which is significant. And so housing and heating is a big portion of our kind of personal emissions, as is driving. So purchasing an electric vehicle is a way to immediately eliminate your transportation-related carbon footprint for at least highway transportation. But in the end, for a lot of us, what gets us is airplane travel. So I guess that would be one of the only, like, silver linings of the pandemic. It's been really rough not to travel, but at the same time, we've all done a good job of reducing those carbon emissions from our lives.
For now, at least.
Yes, for now, I know.
All these solutionists and the solutions that they represent, would you say they're equally impactful or equally accessible? If an individual or a family can only feasibly adopt one or two of these at most, is there a ranking order?
Yes, actually, there is a ranking order that Project Drawdown created. And surprisingly, the number three solution is reducing food waste. And that's something that almost everyone has the capability of doing by just modifying our shopping habits and our cooking habits and being really cognizant and just being, you know, understanding, you know, what is it that's in our pantry, in our fridge, and making sure that we're using it before it goes bad. That is a simple thing that almost everyone can do. We have a bit of control over what's on our plate and what we're eating. And throwing away less food is one of the most effective ways actually to reduce global greenhouse emissions. And so that's one of my favorite ones to talk about, because some of these solutions, of course, require some means. For example, purchasing an EV, you have to have some money to do that. And it's very effective, but not everyone can do that. However, reducing food waste, that's something that a lot of people can do. Similarly, actually, having a plant-heavy diet is also really effective climate change solution. It's listed as 4 out of 80 for most effective solutions for climate change. So What we eat and how we respect the things that are on our plate are ways that all of us can make a positive impact.
That is really interesting and actually quite meaningful.
And speaking
of meaning.
It is. And you know,
go ahead.
And then there's some other too that just being an advocate for local natural resources is something that a lot of us have within our reach. We have a really powerful voice as Alaskans. You know, we have important stories to tell, and we are caretakers of land that is important to the world when you think about carbon sequestration. And it ends up that things like preserving wetlands and peatlands are really important. These are carbon sinks that surround us that provide these services that the rest of the world needs. And so just advocating for the preservation of the forests that surround us and the wetlands that surround us is something that many of us can do too. And it's something that the world really appreciates.
What was important to you about this project? What inspired you to begin and motivated you to keep going?
Well, personally, it's a couple of years ago, it was the summer of 2019, where the weather was really beautiful, but it was unnaturally so. There was smoke in the air of Juneau from wildfires in the vicinity. There were salmon literally having heart attacks in the stream up north because of the warmth of the water. And I just saw how climate change was impacting my home and impacting my family now. This isn't something that is like we can wait in 10 years and see what the impacts are. These are now. And I became really depressed about these things. So I started to educate myself about solutions rather than the outcomes of climate change. And that was a way that I felt like I can make a measurable difference within my life and the life of my community as well by talking about these solutions, learning more about these solutions. And now through this project, being able to share practical ways that all of us can approach climate change.
I have to say this conversation with you has actually given me quite a hopeful feeling. You know, I interview a lot of environmentalists. I don't know what it is about public radio and environmentalists, but we get a lot of them. And this has been a very helpful conversation for me. What are you hoping that your audience will take away from viewing the exhibit at COPA and learning about the solutionist?
Well, the tagline is that we have solutions to climate change and we are the solution to climate change. And so I hope that people feel empowered to make choices that are good for themselves and good for the planet. And the thing is, as Andy Romanoff, one of the solutionists, talks about in the story I did of him, that you make a choice, others notice the choice that you make, and it has this ripple effect. I think of like Andy's story. He installed an air source heat pump. And then next thing you know, there's like several people in his neighborhood that did because they heard about his positive experience. And so when we make these lifestyle changes and we adapt these climate friendly practices, people notice and they're more likely to do so too. And so suddenly it's not just your carbon footprint that's smaller, it's your neighbors. And then it's your entire communities. So I hope that people will see these posters, see these friendly faces that they know, and read the stories, which are also being published in The Empire, actually, and get a sense as to the fact that, you know, there are solutions out there, they exist now, and we can implement these in our lives and our society.
What a great message. And Julie Grantham, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Let's talk about how people can go see the exhibit. It's at COPA this first Friday. Does it open around 4:30?
We're going to hang it. It's going to be open all day on Friday. Due to COVID, it's not like we're having a reception or anything like that, but it'll be up for the month of March. So go to COPA, check that out. Also, the series of stories is being published every Friday in the Juneau Empire. Started 5 or 6 weeks ago, so there's still 4 or 5 that are going to be coming up. So you can read those in the newspaper. And then all of the stories as well are published on my website, which is angeliegrantham.com. So the exhibit features the posters, but doesn't have all of the articles because I work in the world of museums and know that people really don't want to read 10,000 words when they're at an exhibit. So I encourage everyone to check out the stories in the Empire on my website.
And what's next for you, Angelie, since you've wrapped up this project?
Well, sharing it as much as I can. I serve on the board of Renewable Juno, and so we're always engaged in ways of trying to electrify Juno, increase beneficial electrification in the community. I also serve as the vice chair of the Juno Commission on Sustainability, and we're always working on different sustainability-related initiatives, most of which are directed at trying to figure out how we can achieve the goals of the Juno Renewable Energy Strategy, which say that we're going to be operating on 80% renewable energy by 2045. So continuing to volunteer with these great organizations and doing as much as I can to achieve our energy goals.
And I hope we will continue to check in with you and all the collaborators on those efforts. And Julie Grantham, thanks again so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Ahead, the featured artist for this month at the Juno Artist Gallery, known as the Tide Watcher.